coming up on Thunder Pop.
It is the 123rd episode of the Thunder Pop podcast, and I come from the Thunder Pop Dome, and sitting on the screen just in front of me, the one and only, the boy wonder, Johnny Lightfoot.
Hello, hello.
Back via Skype in the Thunder Pop Dome, and
yeah,
of course, we're all doing Skype a lot lately.
Yeah, not a whole lot of options. Skype and Zoom.
All the above, yeah, all those different. I mean, it is the age of video chat.
Yes, very much.
More so than it's ever been, ever. And now we've got multiple people doing business meetings every day, taking care of all their business on a video chat room. You know, I've never even really once considered getting one of those Facebook, you know, those monitors that swivel and turn.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really seriously ever considered that, but I'm thinking about it for this year. Anyway, we're social distancing for this 123rd episode, and Johnny's in the comfort of his home, and you've been working at home. You've been lucky enough to be able to take your work home and do it all from your house. I know we were talking about that before we started recording, and I've been doing everything that I'm doing back at my house or headquarters, and so we're all doing that, and it's been the age of isolation here, hasn't it?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, my job alone, I work remotely a lot anyways, but now, you know, I'm used to going to clients' homes and job sites, and now just having to do everything virtually and put halt on all production of projects and just kind of put everything on hold, it seems like. And then we'll see. Basically, like I told you, it's just a reevaluation every couple weeks. And
mm-hmm.
Just yeah. like every other business in the country.
From the top down, yeah, on everything. I mean, including the major sports leagues, week to week, are having to look at the worst case scenarios and the best case scenarios for getting sports back and on the live sports back on TV. Television productions, which we're going to get into for entertainment. Obviously, we're going to get into the entertainment aspect of that, talking about the shutdown of the movie theaters and also productions that have been halted, some that were just starting out, others that were kind of in the middle of the stage of finishing. And so there's a lot of that all over the place going on in entertainment and in the business world. And you working in installation, working for the fine people over at Magnolia, Best Buy, where y'all do high-end home entertainment.
Yeah, that's what I do. Everything from, you know, small little TV mounting soundbar setups to, you know, six-figure media rooms.
And y'all are open, still, y'all are currently open for business. So if anybody wants a consultation in the Austin, Central Texas, South Texas market, y'all are available. You're still answering the phones, right?
Yeah, still doing phones, and I'm still doing consults. It's just virtually. So we got to set something up via Microsoft Teams or Zoom or FaceTime or whatever.
It's not a terrible time to do something like that. If you have money and you're still working, it's not a bad time to do something like that because you're home. So you have time to plan that sort of thing, at least the planning stages of it and kind of figuring it out, mapping it all out. And then when we're back open for business as a country, then they'll be ready to go.
Yeah, no, I think from my point of view and a lot of the vendors I work closely with, it's not an if, it's a when, because mm-hmm. people are spending more time in their house now than they have in a long time. They're using their entertainment equipment at home more than they have in a long time, or more than they usually do on an average daily basis. And so it gives them a lot of time to think about, gee, I wish this was better, or I wish that was better, or man, now that I'm spending all this time at home, I really wish I had this. And now we didn't take that trip that we normally take every spring. So that's, you know, however many $1,000s that I would have spent on that, I can spend on this.
Yeah, exactly. Because people have spent a lot of money in travel in the spring. And I think there's going to be, I hope and I think we'll be back open for business, at least partially. maybe not 100% over the summer, at some point over the summer.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. But I don't think people are going to be traveling as much this summer because of all this that's going on right now. That's what I view right now.
No, I agree 100%. I think travel will be one of the last, I guess, luxury things. I say luxury, like, but like people doing vacation, I think that that'll be some of the last things that people kind of warm back up to.
Yeah.
I think you'll see people warm back up to the idea of going out to eat or going to a movie before you see them warming up to going to airports again.
And you brought up a good point. You know, what y'all do in high-end home entertainment includes sound, but it also includes visual, which is for watching your favorite shows on streaming platforms and your favorite movies. That'll be a good segue into what we're talking about on this episode, because we're going to get into all the movie cancellations and postponements in the entertainment business, the shutdown of the movie theaters. And again, I add the disclaimer to this that I've done on the most recent episode since this COVID-19 kind of shit hit the fan. I'll put the disclaimer on it that we're not in any way discounting or belittling, you know, like discounting the actual real tragedies that are going on in the world because of this pandemic. People are dying.
Yeah, this is just escapism. We're talking the stuff we normally do and how it's being affected by the tragedies going on around the world. Definitely not downplaying it. And I mean, movies are a big part of my life, but, if I see half as many movies or fewer than I normally would this year, and it helps to get however many number of people not sick, then that's the best thing to do.
Absolutely. And saves people's lives that we know, especially, our loved ones, but everybody, really, all your loved ones and everybody's loved ones. So we all are pulling for you, and we're pulling for each other. Strange times. But yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm happy to watch much less movie, but it'll be interesting segue, because we're going to talk about the shutdown of the movie theaters to start the show. And that's going to be in our Thunder Take, and how long that could go on. And people probably are going to be thinking about maybe ramping up their home theaters, maybe thinking they might be going to the movie theater a lot less over the summer because of this pandemic, and maybe not at all, depending on when they finally do open back up, and it's okay for them to open up and have normal business. So people, you know, if I was told I couldn't go to a movie theater again for a long time, I would be myself looking at ways to kind of bring that experience to the house more, and having a real kind of cinematic experience and watching movies in at least simulating kind of the feel of a movie theater in the best that I can. A movie theater, by the way, for me, that would have a lot of dog hair in it if I was my house happened to be the host of the movie theater. Okay, so we'll get into that right after this on this episode of Thunder Pop.
I lied.
Thunder pop. Yeah. Johnny Lightfoot, myself, Johnny Lightfoot, you coming from another movie podcast yourself that people can find online.
Yes, Matinee Talk, which we've been on hiatus since the shutdown, so about 2 weeks now. We're figuring some stuff out to try to put some stuff out remotely. But I mean, most of what we talk about is reviewing new releases and doing, you know, rankings and whatnot. So again, one of our main topics is, you know, movies being postponed, and it's kind of put a little bit of a postpone on that. I'm sure we'll think of some topics and bring some stuff back. But yeah, Matt and Nick talk.
Did you get to see any of the movies? Like, I know one movie that ran Mulan, the new Mulan. Actually, some people got to sneak peek and preview that movie because it was pulled at the last minute.
Yes, they did do a few early screenings of that. I did not get to partake in that, which on one hand, I'm disappointed. On the other hand, I'm kind of glad because then I would have to sit on it and not talk about it for, I don't know, 6-8 months because Disney's not going to put Mulan out until the world is ready or until, world theaters are ready.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to do a show on it because you wouldn't be able to talk about it, and it's hard. If you had done that, if you had gone to the theater and seen it, it would have been kind of hard to like knowing what everybody's gonna get for Christmas and trying to have to wait 8 months to tell them. So
yeah,
that would be really tricky. And what I read, I didn't read any spoilers on it, but I didn't read any major spoilers other than it's the buzz on it is that it's really really good.
Yeah, so, I've heard the same.
I read that just today. So in our Thunder Take, we're gonna get into the movie theaters. AMC in particular, the AMC theaters, a MovieWeb article that said AMC theaters may never recover and they may shut down for good. AMC, more than any of the other theaters, seem to be the most vulnerable. So S&P Global downgraded AMC theaters' credit rating last week to a CCC-. They were originally a B rating before the widespread movie theater chain closures occurred. This brings the popular theater chain from highly speculative to default imminent with little prospect for recovery. In other words, there's a pretty good chance AMC won't be opening back up. So that's bad news. AMC's been around for a long time. They were there. They were the theater that closed before anyone because they closed their locations all across Italy. They have several locations in Italy, so they had closed even before we were hit with it here in the States. Now, my friend who's in finance, I talked to him about this last night. He says that, and this is his, I'll pull up his exact conversation we were having about it. He said, I almost bought a sizable take in AMC before all this happened. He said, I'm glad I did not. Although he says he's thinking about another one instead. AMC used to have an excellent dividend on their stock. Not anymore. He also went on to say that they had started a streaming platform, or they were streaming content of some sort. Recently, they were doing some kind of streaming offering online. He said the same things about them refinancing, but he said that they would need either someone like Netflix, Amazon, or Disney to buy them in order for them to be resuscitated. I had proposed about a month ago on the podcast that would it be possible for Hollywood studios to do a bailout of some of these movie theaters. I don't know if that's feasible for either side, but what do you think about that with the situation with AMC? Is there light at the end of the tunnel for them?
Well, I mean, I know AMC in particular, in terms of number of theaters, at least in our country, they're the biggest.
Yeah.
Because they're nationwide. They're not regional at all.
Yeah.
I think best case, cause I'm pretty sure, Chapter 11's coming for them.
Yeah.
And I think what they're hoping on is getting a decent portion of that stimulus package. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if they shut down a lot of the theaters.
Yeah.
But I think the name itself is too recognizable for them as a company to just disappear.
Yeah.
Because I don't foresee like somebody not bailing them out, whether that's a billionaire somewhere or a collection of millionaires just buying them out and taking the name and then just closing any theater that before the COVID-19, any theater that just wasn't, you know, a substantial portion of their business, just not reopening that theater and just, you know, defaulting the lease or selling the building to something else. I'm not sure, but them in particular, I couldn't see them as a company going under. I think some of the regional chains though might.
Yeah.
I don't foresee that. Like Draft House, they've got a little following, although their franchise locations, there's a good possibility those don't reopen. But the ones that are still under original Alamo ownership, those should be fine. The one, you know, like Cinemark, Regal, should be fine. Worst case, I just foresee a lot of the theaters just not reopening. For instance, the one down the street for me, the Arbor.
Yeah.
You know, it's a smaller theater, mostly older crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Their projection and their audio's quite dated.
Yeah.
So those are the theaters. Basically, if it's not an up-to-date theater
mm-hmm.
that can charge premium prices that consistently sold out on the weekends, I don't think those theaters reopen. I read an article that it'll be a very similar situation to what happened with movie theaters in the early 50s. Basically, once TVs became abundantly available, people just didn't go to movies anymore. And in order to rebound, theaters had to upgrade their technology to give people a reason to come.
Mm-hmm.
So the good movie theaters, those shouldn't go away. They'll take a hit. And even when they do reopen, it's probably going to be pretty slow for several months.
Yeah, that's what I would think. And for multiple reasons. One is people are going to, there's still going to be some lack of confidence in society about the COVID-19, still possibly getting sick, even though the peak will have probably already have happened and been passed on from. There's going to be that lack of confidence of people in getting sick. There's going to be the issue with all the, which was what we're going to segue into right now, all the movies that have already been postponed that were part of the summer calendar.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I know a lot of best case scenarios was like middle of June at the earliest, like best case for a lot of movie theater chains.
Yeah.
And right now, the only big movie that has refused to move into late summer, fall is Tenet. And I was talking with a buddy that there's no way Christopher Nolan's moving that unless the theaters are just still closed come mm-hmm. mid-July.
He'll have no choice at that point.
Yeah. But assuming they reopen in mid-June, it'll be slow, but you also won't have any blockbusters. I think a lot of studios purposefully moved all of their blockbusters to several months after when they think theaters will reopen because of the fact that people will be very timid early on.
Yeah, you don't want a movie that has a lot of money behind it and a lot of anticipation and potential to be a huge blockbuster. It's such a shame, too, by the way, because this was going to be such a great summer for movies.
Yes. And yeah, you don't want to do that. And then the other thing is, at least for the first month or two, I would think theaters would still mandate, you know, gaps in seating. So you can't have a full theater.
No, that hurts. So for both the movie's legacy in terms of its box office numbers, you take a huge hit, the money that you can make, and you're not able to do the marketing. Like if you're someone like Tom Cruise that had Top Gun Maverick that was originally supposed to come out this summer, which has now been postponed until December.
Late
December. So if you're someone like Tom Cruise, you might be right now rolling out a new trailer, which there would generally be a lot of buzz about.
Yeah, right now we would be getting like final trailer and yeah, getting more hyped about it.
Yeah, especially on the heels of after South by Southwest ends, then people's attention spans focus back more on what's going to be happening this summer and late spring. And so, yeah, these movie trailers, we'd start seeing final trailers for Ghostbusters sequel, for the Tom Cruise Top Gun Maverick. And then a little bit later, we'd start seeing Bill and Ted's. So it really affects your marketing because you don't know if you're going to be able to come out on time. So there's that concern where you can't do your normal marketing lead in to the release of the film. And then people's attention's not focused on it. And then, like you said, once the theater's open, we don't know for how long they may have to do still some social distancing in the movie theaters. And that hurts the movie theater's box office. So what do you do though? Say the movie theaters, let's do a hypothetical. Say the country is open back up and everybody's got their own opinion on it. First of all, when do you think that we're going to be back open as a country, open for business?
I could start seeing some non-essential businesses mm-hmm. open up, sometime in mid-May, maybe. some non-essentials, yep. but definitely not like restaurants and theaters. I don't foresee those opening until at least June.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that early June, maybe, but still June in the summer. So restaurants, don't know what they'll do with restaurants, whether they'll have a policy in the beginning. It won't affect restaurants as much. If you're a successful restaurant, people are going to be dying to get out of the house, and they're going to be dying to go to these restaurants again, even if they have to sit, like they have to have one empty table between every table. Even if they have to do that, these restaurants are going to do great. People are going to tip more because they're going to realize that the restaurant industry was out of work for a substantial amount of time. So most people are going to tip more. People are going to order food, and they're going to go out to restaurants again. The movie theaters is a trickier thing because people can get, as we were talking about just a little bit ago, people can get pretty good experience at home watching a lot of content with all the streaming platforms that are out there now. Disney Plus, Netflix, there's a lot of entertainment. So if they can hold back. But what will the movie theaters do with all these movies that were postponed? If they get back open in June, what are they going to run on their screens?
I think early on, you'll mostly see like legacy films.
Yeah.
You'll see, you know, places like Alamo and stuff like that showing older movies.
Mm-hmm.
And selling tickets at reduced prices to kind of ease people back into going to the movies.
Yeah, and probably offering some matinee prices even after, of course, this is all speculative, maybe offering some matinee prices even in the evenings. They might have a retro movie and retro pricing one day at the theater, like maybe on just a slow, like what normally is the slowest day of the week is Tuesday, I think, for theaters. As it is for most businesses. So Tuesday, maybe they do a retro pricing on all the tickets and menu.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, Alamo already knows that they have that audience. Like, they're still doing, like, they have their Terror Tuesday and Weird Wednesdays,
mm-hmm.
where it's older movies. They started doing those virtually to where you can rent the movie for $7 and some change. And you still get like a pre-show and everything like that.
Oh, that's clever. But, I did not know that. That's great.
And then they make sure to release it. You can't, like, you can rent it a couple days before, but mm-hmm. you can't actually watch it until 7 o'clock on Tuesday. And it's kind of a communal event because everybody's watching it at home. And the money's going towards the big fund they've put together for their employees.
That's a great idea. I know they also offered through social media as kind of a offering to their fan base, to their following, one of their famous recipes on their menu.
Yeah, I actually made those a few nights ago when I watched the Terror Tuesday stream.
Oh, that's perfect. So you had Alamo Drafthouse at the house experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it's the buffalo, it's their cauliflower.
The buffalo cauliflower.
Yeah, which is amazing. Even if you're not vegetarian or a vegan, I mean, they are delish. And I've ordered them. I'm not a vegetarian, but I've ordered them many times as my first choice off the menu. And their recipe, they have that recipe online. So go to the Alamo Drafthouse Instagram, and I think there's a link that takes you to the recipe. And Johnny did them, made them and had the. So that's a great idea. I think you're right, though. You're onto something with Alamo Drafthouse. Them more than anybody else is probably going to be able to handle that situation because that's their MO, is doing these sort of kind of that was their original kind of essence. The Alamo Drafthouse was offering these special events like re-releases of legacy films and doing sing-alongs and various other the Master Pancake, things like that. So I think those types of events, they will have more of those to get people over to the Alamo. They'll have more of those at more locations. And I think also the legacy movies, they never stopped doing legacy movies on a regular basis at the Alamo Drafthouse. So that's going to be perfect for them.
Yeah.
And classic films and then special movie nights, events like you were talking about. So I think other theaters like that will have to do that. We'll probably get, I don't know. I'm trying to think of something. We'll probably get E.T. back in the theater. If they get open this summer, if the theaters open back up this summer, we'll get like you said, the big legacy
films.
The
old blockbusters, yeah.
The old blockbusters that maybe we haven't had a chance to see on the big screen again. What's some stuff that you wouldn't mind seeing if that happens?
Oh, man. I mean, Yeah, like E.T. I saw Jaws on the water last year, but yeah. I mean, E.T., Jurassic Park. I haven't seen the original trilogy on the screen since 97 when they did the special editions.
Yeah.
So it's been over 20 years since then. Do the original Top Gun.
Yeah. Ghostbusters.
Play Ghostbusters 1 and 2. The animated Mulan. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you could do.
I'd like to see Empire Strikes Back again at the theater.
Yeah.
Just because I want to see how it looks again on the big screen. I just haven't seen it in a while on that big of a screen. And I want to compare it to what the more recent Star Wars movies and what the experience is like with the visuals and stuff like that, seeing it on blowing up on that big screen. So Raiders of the Lost Ark is never a bad movie to watch ever. So that would be an incredible movie to see. I'm like you. I'd like to see maybe Jaws again on the big screen. So there's those opportunities. So there's that, and there's, like you said, there's some indie films, probably some B movies that they can come up with too that would be fun to watch in the theater. Foreign films that maybe people haven't seen with subtitles that could be shown in some theaters. Is this an opportunity right now? Is this a little gap for maybe some indie filmmakers that had some movies that they were hoping to get seen?
I had a long conversation with a friend of mine when we saw that some of the A24 releases that were set to come out this month all got pushed back.
Yeah.
And these were movies that we saw at film festivals last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so A24 bought the movies and then wanted to give them theatrical release.
Mm-hmm.
And my opinion was, if I were them, those are the movies I would drop on streaming right now and just charge people between $10 and $20
mm-hmm.
and make some money now, because once the theaters open up and all these movies that got pushed into the fall are now in there with the normal movies you get in the fall and the Oscar movies you get in the winter.
Yeah.
It's going to be a crowded field in the theater. So, and again, not a lot of people are going to want to go to the movies right away. So you're going to be competing with all the stuff that should have already come out and was supposed to come out May, June, July, and you're going to have to compete with those in August, and you're not going to make much money, because I guarantee you when the theaters open back up, they're definitely giving as many screens as they're allowed to the Black Widows and the Wonder Womans and the, you know, James Bond, all mm-hmm. of that stuff. And especially if they're, you know, can only fill their stadium to half capacity due to leaving gaps in seating or just not many people buying seats to begin with. Whereas normally you'd have four full theaters for your, whatever your biggest movie is. Maybe you put them in every, you put your biggest movie in every theater, but like two.
You might have to, like you said, if they're required to do a gap between each seat, then, you know, and this would be a great, cause I don't know, how are you on the lounge seating at theaters? Like say like what IPIC has, like the big kind of bigger chairs, the cushionier chairs. Is that, do you like that experience?
I mean, I think it's fine. I've been to like there, I've been to Movie House, and then also the Alamo and South Lamar, they all have those chairs.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I have a theater chair at home, and that's what I watch all my movies on at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I'm in the theater and I'm in one of those type of chairs, I initially go into like home mode.
Yeah.
Which isn't necessarily paying 100% attention, or, you know, you kind of start dozing off because it's really cold in the theater and you're in this comfy chair. And I like the fact that, you know, give me nice seats. Don't give me like old, you know, almost feel like burlap sack, you know, seats from the 90s.
Yeah, those hard chairs.
At least give me a fake leather chair that's soft. But yeah, the recliners, they're very hit or miss, because I do find myself kind of going into home mode and kind of getting a little sleepy, unless it's a very engaging movie.
Yeah, I mean, I found myself kicking my shoes off. Next thing you know, I'm like reaching down my pants because I think I'm at the house, scratching myself, and then I'm like, oh shoot, I'm in the middle of the theater here. There's people that are sitting right next to me. So yeah, but what I've wondered is if this could become kind of a paradigm shift in the way movie theaters are designed. Could later on could we see maybe that those chairs are installed because it allows for more space between, I mean, in all theaters, maybe would all those chairs be the new norm because they allow for more space between people?
I mean, more space. And I mean, they do also require cleaning between each, you know, show.
Yeah.
Whereas a regular chair, when the seat flops back up, whatever was in the chair just falls on the ground.
And that's it.
With those recliners, they got to wipe them down.
Yeah, which is a good thing, which would be a good thing.
Yeah.
Because I think there's going to be, I mean, people are going to be, everybody's going to be Howie Mandel now for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's going to be that, we're all going to become germaphobes. So yeah, so maybe there's something there where maybe we might see in the future, I don't know, plexiglass between each seat, a big wall of plexiglass. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm fine with myself. I'm fine with going to a movie theater once they open. I'm not going to be afraid to go, you know, to the movies. I'm hoping we're still going to get Wonder Woman in August, Wonder Woman 1984. So I'm ready to go, and I'll go see those classic movies. I kept saying this summer was going to be my 80s summer. Revitalized because it was going to be the Ghostbusters and the Top Gun and the Bill and Ted's all coming out this summer and then on into Christmas with Coming to America. So I was like, this is going to be, but now that's not going to happen, but maybe it actually is going to still be my 80s summer because all those movies, original versions of those movies are going to be in the theater.
Yeah.
I know production's been halted on some films that weren't due to come out for a while, but they're probably going to get pushed back too. So we're going to see a domino effect with... Like, okay, here's an example. December, I know for sure we're going to get now Top Gun in late December. Mm-hmm. I remember looking at December a while back before all this happened and kind of looking at what was coming out in December, and we had Dune.
Yep.
And Coming to America. No new Star Wars movies. And so pretty much you looked at December before all this happened, and it was a wide open space for those two movies to pretty much own December. And now with the movies that are getting pushed back, you're going to get James Bond moved to November, and you're going to get Top Gun moved to late December. And I don't know what else has been moved in that range. I know Ghostbusters now is going to be all the way into March of next year. So they really went far out. Mulan is April of next year, if I'm not mistaken. So it's really far out. So I'm wondering if there's going to be maybe movies that were set to come out in 1 month that don't really have a necessity to move, but might decide they want to move because they don't like how crowded it's getting. Could you see that happening in the case of something like, and I don't know if they've moved Dune or Coming to America yet. I haven't heard anything about those two getting moved to get out of that. But there's actually a meme right now that's hilarious with Dune, where Dune is sort of the, like, is really relieved that they've got December all to themselves. And then next thing you know, they see a crowd. It's from Pirates of the Caribbean, I believe. And next thing you know, they see a rush of people coming to them, running to them, and they think they're safe, and they see all these people running to them for help, and it says Top Gun, Ghostbusters, and it's got the name, like the names of all these movies running head on to Dune. So I don't know. Do you think that if you're Dune or Coming to America, do you budge or do you stay put?
I think if I'm Dune, I probably stay put because if you don't stay put, then you have to hold your movie until at least like April or May.
At the latest, because if there's movies already that have been, like if Marvel has already gone in, Marvel's already put their date, they rescheduled everything for this next phase.
Which so, I feel like they have to do because I think something happens in Black Widow that, again, like comics, if you miss an issue, then some stuff doesn't make sense. So I think there's something in Black Widow where they're like, well, now we have to just shift our whole calendar.
Right.
So
they still have to line up a certain way
for
them not to spoil the next. It's like I said, chapters, this chapter's in a book. So they can't have something come out of order there that will mess it up. Spider-Man's got to come out when it's got to come out. Captain Marvel 2's got to come out when it's got to come out. And one can't be swapped out with the other because, like you said, you're probably messing something up in their storytelling and in that particular phase. So there's that. Do you think we're going to see any shows? I know Stranger Things now, and a lot of shows too. So this is a problem that won't be just in the movie theaters. It's going to hit TV eventually because right now there's plenty of stuff, new stuff to watch on streaming right now. But we had, you know, Mandalorian. I don't know how far they were into production, but I know they were scheduled to come out in the fall. They're still saying they're coming out in the fall. But is that going to, could that screw things up for something like them, like that?
Yeah, I mean, something like that. Or the issue is how much was shot, how far are they into post on what was shot?
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible they put 2 weeks between each episode? Or is it possible, since they're doing, I assume, a full 10-episode run, that they do 5 in the winter and then the next 5 sometime in the spring? And
that would be a good idea.
Pull one of those.
That would be a good idea. That'd
just
be
that great way you've got buzz around the holidays, and then you don't have people complaining, you know, that they don't get their Baby Yoda for another year.
That could be something, too. Yeah, because they'd want to get a little bit something in there. Because this is going to be their actual first Christmas that they're going to be able to take advantage of merchandising, because they didn't have the stuff ready for the, and then, which was intentional. They didn't really have all the Mandalorian stuff ready this last round of Christmas holiday season, because they didn't want spoilers and leaks. Jon Favreau was really adamant about not getting things out because he didn't want it to cause any leaks to the show, especially the Baby Yoda. So this is going to be their first Christmas season where they have a chance to reap the rewards of their buzz, and so in merchandising. So I think that they're going to want to, like you said, they're going to want to get at least part of that season up. And even if they have to split it in two, that might not be such a bad idea for Stranger Things either, because I know they were kind of had already had a tentative date set for their release, and now that's going to be pushed back some. Do you think it causes any headaches in terms of the storytelling? And I'll give you the best example. I went on Instagram Live and talked about this a few weeks back. With Stranger Things, you deal with teenagers and kids who change more in appearance than adults do. A 35-year-old man is going to most likely look the same 6 months from now as he looks now, unless he gets it like on CrossFit or something, or the opposite, and spends all this time at home eating. But he has the ability to get back to looking exactly the same way he looked 6 months previous. But a kid who's constantly changing in appearance, could that cause a continuity issue for something like Stranger Things?
I mean, it definitely could. I feel like that was one of the big issues with It Chapter 2 was, it came out 2 years later, and those kids, a lot of them looked a lot different.
Yeah.
So that's definitely an issue. I do feel like movies like Dune, or shows that were already in production or well into production or in post, are in a much better place than, you know, people that were just getting started, like The Batman and other things, or shows whose most recent season just ended, Ozark, things like that, where you leave on like a really high note,
mm-hmm.
and you were probably expecting, well, right after we air season 3 of Ozark, we're going to start shooting season 4
mm-hmm.
this summer, and you got to postpone all that.
Yeah, so there's going to be a big gap there.
So how relevant are you going to be by the time you finally come out?
Yeah, and you might see something, especially in network TV, you might see something, and it depends on whether they get back to production in time for fall for the network TV shows. But I know it used to be, when there was the biggest disruption television generally used to have was a writer's strike or actors guild strike. But usually when that strike would happen, it would last 2 months, maybe 3 months max. And what they would end up doing is put a lot of filler on. So there'd be like a lot more game shows, reality TV, stuff that can be shot and produced in a short amount of time.
Yeah, and even those network shows, those procedurals, like you can shoot an episode of a procedural and wrap it in a week.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, these Disney Plus, these Netflix, the HBOs, Stars, and all of those, like, they put movie type production into these shows, mm-hmm. and so it affects them a lot more than, say, like a CW show or an NBC show.
Yeah, if you're someone like Netflix, and there's a lot of eyeballs on Netflix right now, if you're someone like Netflix, you're probably already having the meetings via Zoom, I would assume, but having Zoom meetings already about how to cover that gap that could potentially happen as content is disrupted in production. And I could see them wanting to spend some money on getting some libraries of shows that were reruns, kind of that were very popular reruns.
Oh, yeah.
Buying some of those up.
You buy those up, and then also movies that were supposed to be theatrical that were going to end up getting pushed back that realized, hey, we're not going to survive in a crowded late summer, like Kumail Nanjiani's new movie, Lovebirds. Netflix bought it.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to come out in theaters. So.
Yeah, and the only thing that you would, if you're Netflix, the only reason I would think that you would hold out on something like that is if you thought there was a real potential for Oscar and you wanted that short run in the theater to get that Oscar, and right now you don't have that option, that would be the only way to or reason to hold out. Is, and they wouldn't care if it came out in the summer to a lot of empty theaters, as long as it got its initial run in the theater for that Oscar run. It would just sort of depend on that.
Yeah, and I mean, this one, they weren't even producing this one. This one literally, I don't remember the studio that originally had it, but Netflix just came to them and said, here, we'll write you a check, and we'll just buy it from you. So,
what happened to the film? I know it was not last year's Fantastic Fest, but the year before, the Eminem produced film that you watched and really liked.
Yes, Bodied. So actually, YouTube bought the rights to that one, so they had that on their paid, whatever YouTube's paid
YouTube Premium
service. With. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think it's what they're still. I think they're still calling it YouTube Premium, but yeah. So they had it for on their platform. So that's where it went. Okay, well, good. Anybody that wants to see that, they can get. And I know you, if you haven't ever signed up for YouTube Premium, they give like a week free, so you could get a chance to see that movie. I assume it's still on there right now for people that subscribe.
Yeah, because I mean, YouTube bought it, so.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so you could watch that, and for people that are home right now and they're like they've already finished Netflix basically, and Disney Plus, and they're looking for something else to watch. You could go get I know a week free of YouTube Premium, and you could watch that movie. You could watch two seasons of Cobra Kai if you've never watched that. That's a tremendously great show, which also was another production that got to post production and was almost finished, but they're in post right now. And I think that was going to come out in May, but I think they're also holding that back because they really can't do they don't feel like they can do the marketing right now for it.
Yeah, makes sense. And I mean, now a lot of those companies are offering trials of some kind. I mean, I wasn't ever planning on touching CBS All Access, but right now they're offering like a month free. So I was like, well, I'll go watch all the Twilight Zone and Picard.
There's another, most people didn't get CBS Access because I was like, oh, there's not enough on there right now that I'd want to pay for it. There is some stuff on there I want to watch, but not enough to want to pay for it. But now, there's Picard and the Twilight Zone is worth a month, signing up for the month free easily. I did watch the first episode of Picard when they offered it for free on YouTube, kind of a sneak peek. But then I was kind of left hanging, like wanting to watch the rest of it, really liking the first episode. So there's other things there you can watch too as well. I know also you can access a lot of really fun B-movie stuff. Austin Film Society, I believe they have a link that takes you to archive. I believe it's archive.org, where you can watch a lot of really good stuff that fell through the cracks, things you might not have even thought of watching. But there's some real gold in there on archive.org, which has all kinds of crazy stuff, like anti-satanic police videos that are just hilarious to watch. 30 minutes of gold from the 80s. So there's stuff like that.
We're discussing Satanism and the occult this morning and some of the dangers that are lurking about. And with me in the studio is the Dark Lord Blood, who is a seventh generation satanic worshiper. I mean, are all your friends Satanists?
No, I don't have any friends, but my acquaintances are, yeah.
Uh-huh.
For the purposes of this study, we will focus on the number 666 and its use in the Universal Product Code.
Okay, Johnny Lightfoot, I hope everyone in your life is healthy. And do you know anyone that's gotten sick? Is everybody okay?
I mean, I know of one coworker who had been running a fever for like 3 days straight.
Yeah.
But it never crossed 101. So they told him because he wasn't older and all of that, that they couldn't use a test on him. So he was just told to, stay home like everyone else and ride it out. But yeah, I know he was having like intense body aches and headaches and fever, but his fever I know has gone down, but mm-hmm. they told him to still just stay quarantined. So, but no, I feel pretty lucky. I don't know anybody that's gotten sick. But I feel like Texas, at least our neck of the woods, we seem to be behind the West Coast and East Coast mm-hmm. outside of Louisiana, but that's because they had Mardi Gras.
Yeah, they went ahead with Mardi Gras and I'm glad they didn't go ahead with South by Southwest here in Austin.
Yeah, it made me very thankful that even though it wasn't a pandemic yet, but the fact that they had the foresight to go ahead and cancel that, because we would have had people coming in from all over the world.
Yeah.
Rubbing elbows and staying in hotels, and then if they would have got sick, they would have been taken up the hospitals here.
It would have been rough. We would have been pretty much like New Orleans or close right now. And I knew it too when they were holding out for that few days. I'm like, they really need to cancel it. I don't have a good feeling about them going ahead with it. And so I was relieved when they finally made the decision to do it. I'm glad everyone, and knock on wood, that everybody in your corner continues to stay healthy and nobody gets sick. I had sore throat for a few days and I started freaking out. I've been taking zinc and vitamin C like crazy. Maybe it was just seasonal allergies, and I was having chest pains too, which I never have, which could have just been kind of anxiety over all this.
Yeah, combination of that. And I mean, up until the rain recently, we had a ton of pollen everywhere.
Yeah.
And so it was really hard to tell, like, am I short of breath because of allergies, or am I getting something?
Yeah, and my allergies are probably the best they've been in years, because I am doing all this stuff to try to keep myself healthy from this virus. So I've been doing the apple cider vinegar with the honey, and I've been doing the zinc. I've been doing the vitamin C. I've been all in on. So I feel great right now. I feel great and not working and staying home. So I feel great right now. Although I would like to be able to get out again. I do miss getting out more, like just regular getting out. Okay, so on this agree or disagree for you, Johnny Lightfoot, the first question for you, sir, is, so the producers of The Office are now they've spawned an idea out of this stay at home order in the country. And that was a result of the pandemic. They now have come up with an idea. They're planning to do a show, a stay at home workplace comedy series. So it's going to be like The Office, but based off of people being forced to stay at home and work from home. Which I think is the premise could be hilarious. And the reason why I'm sold on the idea is because I saw a meme that someone created from a video conference that people were having, a work meeting that was being held on Zoom. And it was a screenshot of it. And one of the guys is like in bed while they're having the meeting.
Oh, yeah. I've had so many the last 2 weeks. I could do hours of stories. But yeah, no, it's a great idea.
Because, yeah, so there's some comedy there.
Yeah, and I mean, even the stories I've heard of, like, spouses who have been together for so many years, and now that they get to see what their significant other is like when they're working.
Right, yeah. It's a whole other thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, here's my question for you. And now this idea is not just a pitch or a proposal. They're actually going to go into production with it. I'm sure as soon as this is all over and they can get back to a soundstage somewhere, they're going to start pre-production on it. They're probably already they probably have the scripts written already. And there's a lot can be done at home. I know bands right now recording albums when they're not even together, because they, like, the guitarist can record his part and then send the MP3 or send the file to the singer. The singer can lay down his vocal and then send it to the drummer. The drummer can lay down the drums and send. So they're doing a lot of, like, even musicians are doing albums right now while they're in quarantine. Which is great. So I don't see why movies or TV shows couldn't write scripts and plan productions without actually being in production.
Yeah, even do casting.
Yeah, you can do because you can have auditions. You can have readings on Skype or on chats. So it's a chance for them to kind of find new ways and to pre-produce a product. So here's my question for you, though. Do you agree or disagree that this may be actually too close to home because of the memories that it will bring people back to the pandemic, which I think we're all going to have a little PTSD from it?
I don't think so, because I think those type of situations, people are finding a lot of humor in them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm seeing a lot of the ones online, and I'm seeing people finding humor in them. And I know any day that I'm on them, like, they're always starting out with somebody is in the meeting from somewhere ridiculous, or somebody, instead of talking about work, starts talking about some funny story that their animal or their kid did, or you can hear somebody's wife or kid in the background doing something, and you just see what everybody's reaction is to that. And I think it'd be pretty hilarious, and it would, you know, give a touch, you know, of those, the lighter moments of what's going on. Whereas, you know, people are finding things that normally, you know, a lot of people don't like going to work, or they don't like their job, and they're finding out like these humorous things about them working from home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like bringing them a little bit of joy.
Yeah. And also all the creativity that's come out in people that probably didn't normally have time to come up with these ideas, their TikTok videos or their vlogging or their memes, or maybe they're sitting down and singing and they're beautiful, sounding beautiful, making music out of their home. People are doing all kinds of fun creativity from their home.
Oh, yeah.
That was already a part of the internet, but it seems like it's even been more so part of the internet as a result of this stay-at-home order and people being at home. But here's an interesting thing. Here's a funny bit. My friend posted that she calls it Quarantine's Got Talent. All the people that are displaying their various talents on the internet since they've been stuck at home looking for things to do. So by the way, I want to add that this is not a based off of the original Office series, the American Office. It's a new show with new characters, and it's a totally different company. It's not Dunder Mifflin. It's going to be a different, you know, show altogether. So, but the actual Office producers that are making the show. Okay, so number two, the advent of the global lockdown condition has put every new film project on hold, as we've been talking about, for the foreseeable future. Many studios are using extra time to tweak their completed films further. Now, I know at least one director who said he's not changing anything in his film. It's done. And really, not that he wouldn't want to do it. It's just kind of a budget issue at this point and spending more money to do it. So, but that was the director of No Time to Die, who said that he's not making any changes on the film. Of course, it was delayed till November. So, but anyway, here's my question for you. Do you agree or disagree that this is going to be a good thing for some films that we were already excited about that may get some fine tuning that they wouldn't necessarily have gotten in the otherwise?
I think that's definitely possible, because you give a film a little bit of time to breathe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, to use a meeting phrase, circle back around to it. Mm-hmm. You know, you put it on the shelf for a little while, mm-hmm. come back to it, watch it with fresh eyes, and then, you know, go to your producing partners and the studio and talk about some things that might work better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not like they can go out and, you know, put those productions that are currently on pause. Basically, if you're in post, you're in a really good place as mm-hmm. as a filmmaker.
Yeah.
Because you're technically still working.
Yeah, you have not wrapped up. Well, but James Bond was already done and ready to go, but you had other movies that were still in post. I'm sure many of the summer movies probably were still at that stage.
Yeah. You know, like Wonder Woman and Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
Top Gun.
Yeah, they all, I'm sure, had some stages of post. Black Widow may have already been done. I would think. Here's another bit. We didn't get into this, but there were people talking for a little bit and even lobbying for movies like Black Widow to get released on streaming and just go ahead and put it out, and then charge like a pay per view, maybe $19 have it for 48 hours. They haven't gone forward with that, I don't think, on anything. What did you think about that idea? Do you think that was held back for legal reasons? They didn't do that?
No, that's a money reason. Because Universal, and even Warner's, they did that, like the $20,
mm-hmm.
and all of the movies that they released like that were movies that had been in the theater for 2 weeks or less.
Yeah.
So like The Way Back, which was actually the last movie I saw, which I saw literally 4 hours before Alamo announced they were closing. Mm-hmm.
So that was the last movie. I meant to ask you that. What was the last movie you got to see?
Yeah, the way back with Ben Affleck, and then Warner released it to where you could rent it.
Yeah,
$20. Same thing with Universal with The Invisible Man, Hunt, and Emma, and then Disney. They did Onward to where you could rent it for $20, but then they made the announcement that they were going to put it on Disney Plus like 3 weeks later. So I'm pretty sure most people just waited.
Yeah. Oh yeah, probably so. I would think Invisible Man did some good business on the on demand.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because it was a film that had got some buzz behind it, and a lot of people that hadn't seen it in the theater or maybe still probably going to the theater to see it.
Oh yeah, and Bloodshot also got VOD. That movie was only out less than a week.
Mm-hmm.
I did see that one in theater, but that would be one that I would say, like, if you could get like two people together, it would maybe be worth $20 because it's just stupid fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's not unheard of. It's just on movies like that and movies like Mulan, Black Widow, Wonder Woman. Like, if it's a potential $1 billion film, the studio can afford to keep it on ice for a couple months.
Yeah.
But those fringe movies, like, again, Emma, Invisible Man, The Way Back, those, you're talking about movies that have under a $25 to $30 million budget,
mm-hmm.
and only had maybe 2 weeks of theater time under their belt, which means they probably only made like $10 or $15 million. Like, they needed money now. So they're like, $20, rent it right away.
Yeah. Quiet Place almost made it into theaters. It's been postponed as well. It was close. It was really close to coming out. There were some others that were really close to coming out, but that was one that almost made it and didn't get out in time, and they're going to still release it later in the theaters. So number three, this is from an article from Cosmic Book News. It says, say goodbye to a third of Marvel Comics as the publisher has announced it is stopping the release of approximately one-third of its May and June comic book titles. Now, that's another end of this whole thing, is the comic book industry and how it's affecting comic books right now, because comic book stores are obviously not open. Bookstores are not open. So unless you're really hardcore and you're willing to order your comic books to have shipped to you, I'm sure there's still some outlets that are offering that. But anyway, Newsarama noted that a rep from Marvel Comics confirmed 15 to 20% of its solicited titles would be affected, as some of them are twice monthly in May and June. Do you agree or disagree that the pandemic could be the final nail in the coffin to the comic book industry, or will it find a way to resuscitate as well?
So I guess I would disagree there. I do think comic books will come back. To put it in perspective, I think it was two or three Wednesdays ago was the first time comic books weren't on news shelves on a Wednesday in over 80 years.
Wow.
Or new comic books.
Yeah.
But it's also the industry's fault, because Diamond, who is the distributor for most comic books, is the only distributor. So as soon as Diamond said, we're not distributing, then Marvel and DC had no choice but to shut those books down until Diamond says it's okay, because Diamond has a monopoly on comic distribution, which actually went to federal court in 2000.
Yeah.
They actually won simply because it was found that even though they're technically the only distributor of comic books still fall under books in general, and there are lots of book distributors.
Mm, interesting.
But regardless about all that, more than likely we will see some big events come out of Marvel and DC out of this. I've even heard rumors of them doing the first ever crossover since the early 90s.
Yes, that's being talked about.
Because that's what saved the comic book industry in the early 90s, or one of a few things that saved the industry, was them doing the big crossover with DC and Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a steroid shot for comics. I do think you might see a big portion of fairly new comic book readers, or people who haven't been doing it very long, just go ahead and make the full switch to digital. But mm-hmm. I think anybody who's been doing it for any length of time, it's just one of those things where they have to have their physical comic book.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to go in a bag and board, and it has to go in a box. And those are the same people where, coming out of this, if DC and Marvel have to raise the price of their comics by 50 cents an issue, those hardcore people will pay it. And DC and Marvel know that, so
they will for sure. They will for sure. Are there any good, really good services that do a box, monthly box delivery of comic books?
Oh gosh, I know there's a bunch of them. I don't have any firsthand experience with any of them, mm-hmm. other than the ones that I just see people doing, like little video unboxings.
Yeah.
The only issues with that is, you kind of tell them what sort of things you like, and they just kind of pick stuff for you.
Yeah.
So you might end up with like the third issue in like a 6-issue arc, and you might like it, but then you're like, well, I didn't read issue 1 or 2, and right. now I have no idea how to get 4, 5, and 6.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, they'll throw some graphic novels in there, which helps you out. But when it comes to single issues, that's really a tricky thing to do. That's why I've never done one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably good for like
someone... It's good to find your taste.
Yeah.
Like if you don't know what you like, then you just get shipped a bunch of random stuff, and then you find one you like, and then you go seek out more of that.
It'd be great, like my son, when he gets old enough to start reading stuff like that. I mean, he actually has one Spider-Man book already. He has a... Of course, his own thing for his age group is for superheroes is the PJ Mask is a big thing, which is not so far off when you watch the animated series. It's not so far off from it's inspired heavily from a 60s Batman a little bit in terms of the music, the score, and sort of the dialogue a little bit. It kind of fits that genre of superhero entertainment. But like for him, when he would get old enough, that would be something great to do for him, like to gift him with that for a while, because like you said, it does give someone that's new maybe an opportunity to find their taste.
Yeah, definitely.
And something like that. And that's it for Agree to Disagree. And now it's time for thoughts and advice for this 123rd episode of the Thunderpop Podcast with Johnny Lightfoot, myself, Stephen Presley. Ah, yes, time for thoughts and advice. And here's my thought and my advice. And actually, it's changed a little bit since I first came up with the idea to talk about this on the show. But we called it in our last podcast, we called it Late Night Unplugged or Late Night Talk Shows Unplugged. But a lot of these late night talk shows that were forced to shut down studio productions continued on. They found a way to continue on, like The Tonight Show and Jimmy Kimmel Live. Stephen Colbert, a lot of these late night talk shows figured out a way to continue on without a studio audience and without the access to a studio by doing at home versions of their show. And they're all doing at home versions of their show right now. The Daily Show, Jimmy Kimmel, even Howard Stern has moved his satellite radio show, I think, to like maybe the basement of his house. I just watched it the other day for the first time since they moved it, and they're doing interviews in Skype like we're doing. And it's really interesting to see how they work as at home productions. And I was really surprised by how minimalist some of the shows were with their at home versions of their production. You know how professional some of the YouTubers are with their mm-hmm. with their productions and their shows, with green screen and wireless mics, and there's so many things that independent YouTube producer can do and has access to do nowadays to produce a show from their house that would elevate the production. And a lot of them do that in terms of sound quality, in terms of the camera quality, shooting in HD, having a mic, having all these different buttons and whistles, green screen, text and graphics on the screen. So a lot of things like that that really elevate the production, and there are a lot of talented people out there as well. But when I the first week of watching some of these talk shows and seeing how they were not at that level as an at-home production as some of the YouTubers.
Yep.
And how surprising that was. And I was like, couldn't they have FedExed Jimmy Fallon a couple of mics?
A kit.
A kit, like some lights, like a lighting kit, maybe a green screen backdrop. I know they had some of that stuff available at the studios of some of these shows. So, yeah, just ship out some of the stuff. And even just – I was just watching the Adam Sandler on Jimmy Fallon, and he does a new quarantine song, and he's at his house, and he's doing an interview over the chat, and how bad the sound quality was. I was shocked. It's like when we do a Skype and it's hit or miss. We don't necessarily love doing Skype as much as we love doing in studio because it's a lot more intimate and person, like we're face to face, but sometimes we do it because it's easier. It's for scheduling. In this case, it's our only choice really is to do it this way. So, yeah. but listening to the sound quality, even of some of these, now I will say one of them has made the adjustments. And that's Jimmy Kimmel. And he, after about a week, he showed everyone how he's changed or transformed one of the rooms in his house to a fairly, looks like a professional YouTube producer's space at their house. I mean, he's got professional mics now. He's got a green screen behind him. He's doing all these different things now to elevate his production. So he really does look like a YouTuber. But I don't know. Why did some of these shows would have maybe benefited by maybe hiring a YouTuber to help them virtually from a far away kind of help with their production. What do you think?
No, definitely. I would have figured like the studios could have at least sprung, $1,000-$2,000 on Amazon and like send Kimmel and all of them a little care package with some instructions.
Oh yeah, it's a drop in the bucket for them to spend $2,000 on equipment to set up in somebody's house, and you can hire someone to kind of give you consultation over the internet on Skype and tell you, okay, this is list of things you need to get. There's actually videos you can go watch. I mean, tons of producers, YouTube producers, have made videos on all the things you need to do, what they actually use. They'll show you what they actually use for their production, the gimbal or the selfie light or whatever, and they'll show you what you're using. So you don't even really have to pay them. You can just go watch their YouTube videos, and they'll tell you what you need for the production. But I know it was kind of a last-minute thing for a lot of them. They really weren't planning on it. But I do think what's going to happen is it's an interesting paradigm shift because it's put like YouTubers kind of in a way sort of ahead of major late night talk shows in terms of production value.
Yeah, no, it's insane how things can turn on their head like that.
Yeah. So, and at the same time, it's kind of that's kind of part of the entertainment of watching these shows right now do these at-home versions is to watch them kind of roll with the punches a little bit and evolve evolve and kind of as they go along, like in the case of Jimmy Kimmel, who went and actually finally about a week later, next thing you know, it looked like he had done his homework and he did have a full, like, impressive studio in his house set up with all this equipment and stuff.
Yeah.
And so
I even noticed it on like Sports Talk to where they're just having the sports anchor talent work from home. And sometimes it seems like they're just using like a cell phone camera and then they just set up like a jersey behind them to make it look like they're somewhere.
Yes. I saw that with a local sportscaster. He was, he must have played for A&M, I think. And he had his football jersey hanging up in the background. He was shooting from an angle and I feel like the younger Like if you're a young newscaster that maybe is just out of college and you just got out of college, you're probably more familiar with at-home production. And because you've probably, I mean, people now, there's kids that grew up on YouTube and they grew up making YouTube productions as an after school event. So, it was easy for them, but I think someone that maybe like that has been in mainstream entertainment their entire life that never really did a YouTube production.
They showed up, got their makeup done, read their keynotes and go out there and do it.
It'll be interesting to see how much of that will seep into, once this is all over, what will come of that? Like, will we see more of these at home? Like, would television think like, hey, we could do more of this if we elevate the production value a little bit and save a lot of money on production by not doing it in a studio? It'll be interesting to see if that is a paradigm shift at all.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, just like Johnny said, the thought and my advice and our thought and our advice for you is to, yeah, get on, dial up Amazon and see what you could maybe get a kit, a little green screen, one selfie light, a couple of mics would make all the difference in the world.
For sure.
Absolutely. So everyone, Johnny, thank you again for joining us, and be well, sir. Be healthy.
Yeah, you too, man.
And everybody in your life too as well. And everybody else out there the same. And until next time, be safe, be well. Thank you, and good night, and good day.
Later.
Thunderpop is a Hit the Bricks production.